1 John 5 and verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. My name is Russ Earle. Thank you for joining me today here on We Can Rest Assured, a podcast brought to you by the Ulaga Church of Christ. Welcome. Today we'll begin looking at Do We Know Jesus? We notice that the first epistle of John has a very explicit purpose. John wrote, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5, verse 13. Throughout this epistle, John presents means by which Christians can examine themselves and thus know they are faithful. If faithful, they can know they have eternal life, but if they fail the test, what then? John gives these Christians who fail the test of faithfulness the means by which they can obtain the forgiveness of sins. In 1 John 1, verse 9, John wrote, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Subsequently, John writes to remind us of our advocate with the Father and the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2 says, My children, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We also notice that the word translated know in 1 John 5, verse 13, is oida, which means absolute knowledge. In this study, we will concern ourselves with another Greek word, gnosko, which is also translated know. This word means come to knowledge, to understand completely. Frequently, it indicates a relationship of persons knowing one another, and such is the case in our text. John wrote in 1 John 2, 3-6, And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God, perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2, 3-6. From our text we learn that assurance comes from our relationship with Christ, which is founded upon our obedience by faith. So let's continue by looking at obedience as a means of assurance. As you learn and gain knowledge, we gain responsibility to use that knowledge. John's gospel was written with the express purpose of causing belief, John 20, 30, and 31. Through instructions such as John's gospel, we came to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It is this belief that should lead us to obedience, as James wrote in James 2, 22, says, Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? From this obedience comes a relationship with Christ and the Father. Paul wrote of this order of things in Romans 10, 13-17. Here the Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things to come. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. First one hears instruction. In this instance, it is the instruction of God's word through the preaching of the gospel of peace. Second, he comes to believe, and thus belief removes the honest heart to obey the gospel. Thus, Christ, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. In the context of obedience, John writes, And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A person can claim to know the Lord, but if he is not obedient to his will, he really does not know him. Obedience can be divided in three ways. First is the need of obedience. Our need is seen in our desire for eternal salvation. Sin in our lives has caused us to need a means by which we can be saved. In Romans 6:16, Paul wrote of the bondage of sin. He said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." In the following verse, he thanked God that they were delivered from that bondage. Listen to the hope and promise of this passage. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Their need is seen in their bondage of sin unto death, and their hope is seen in their obedience which delivered them by the precious blood of Jesus from this bondage of sin. Second is a heart of obedience. By this we mean the motive behind our obedience. Our motive should be love. Paul began the great love chapter by reminding us that love should be the proper motivation. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, love, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. No matter the service we might offer to the church, whether it is edification or benevolence, if it is not motivated by love, it is of no profit to the one doing the service. John wrote much about our motivation of love by reminding us of God's love. Twice in his first epistle, John reminds us of how we perceive the love of God. In 1 John 3, verse 16, John wrote, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And in 1 John 4, verse 9, he wrote, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Therefore we love him, because he first loved us." 1 John 4:19. This great demonstration of love motivates us to love one another. And this is not just in word, it is in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, verse 18. Third is the reward of obedience. We know the righteous judgment of God will render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2, 6. God will reward those who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Romans 2, 7. Just as God testified of the righteousness of Abel, Hebrews 11, 4, God will testify of our righteousness on the day of judgment, when he will declare, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Matthew 25, 23. Thank you for listening today to We Can Rest Assured.